So this morning, our scripture reading is John 10, verse 22 through 30. And this comes at a time when Jesus is being confronted and asking questions by the Pharisees, the leaders, religious leaders of the time. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The word of God for the people of God.
So we're talking a little bit this morning about the Good Shepherd. And I told Art 2 minutes before he was going to read the scripture, "Oh yeah, you're just going to read from John's gospel because I want the congregation to hear Psalm 23 from the voice of a child." And so let's listen to the scripture for this morning's reading as well.
Okay. "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm looking at the camera while I'm doing the Bible verse."
Okay, good.
Why don't you look in the camera too?
Oh, okay.
"The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be alone. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know it will be your with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now my head, you anoint my head with oil. Surely, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness will follow me all the days
surely
of my
life. Goodness and love.
Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I know she was a little hard to hear everything. I wanted to have her face and then the words next to it. But even in the beginning, she's like, "No, Dad, light the candle so I could read the verse." And then she goes, "Oh, no, I can still look in the camera." Like, she's like, "Hello?" And then she's so excited that she has a little, you know, spit on her chin. And so she just sucks it up. Aren't you guys glad I don't, you know, at least spray? But I don't know. Doesn't that do your heart good when you hear the holy word of God being spoken truly out of a child's mouth? The first time I ever listened to that video, I was like, "Oh my gosh, she memorized the whole Psalm 23. I think it's a reminder sometimes, and we are amazed by our children, that we can too learn a whole passage of Scripture. Surely, oh, is it now time for my head? Oh yeah, the anointing of oil. I just thought that would be a good way for all of us to start out our message this morning from the Old Testament with Psalm 23 and with John's Gospel. And so this morning, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This next picture is a picture of Michael and Garrett. And it's about 12. I think Garrett is maybe 8 years old in that picture. And it's up, we would go skiing a lot. But the first time I met Garrett, I did not know he was Michael's son because we just started to get to know each other. And so can you imagine, I went to the church family night for Bible study and they had a meal, but they didn't have enough volunteers to do all the things that the church needed for volunteers. So I walk in the door and there's a lady standing there with clipboards. Can you guys imagine that? And there's all these open spots on the clipboards. And she goes, "Oh, Cherie, you're good with children. We need you to watch over the six-year-olds." I'm like, "Well, I just came to eat." She goes, "Well, you can, that's what you got. You got the six-year-olds. I'll come get you." I'm like, "Okay." So we go into the fellowship hall. I have like three of the six-year-olds with me. I'm kind of still new to the church. And then here comes this blonde-eyed, blue-eyed boy. And he comes up and I go, "I think you're supposed to sit over here." And he goes, "Why?" I go, "Well, are you six?" "Well, yeah, how do you know I'm six?" I go, "Because I'm supposed to watch the six-year-olds." He goes, "Okay. Well, my birthday's in May." I go, "Really? Your birthday's in May? My birthday's in March." He goes, "We both have M months." I said, "Yes, we do." And then little Garrett goes, "Well, what day is your birthday?" I said, "Well, my birthday is March 17th. And he goes, "Oh, my birthday is May 17th. I go, "Well, you are definitely meant to be here." And then I see this good-looking man that I'm kind of interested in kind of saunter over. Now, I think he's coming to sit next to me. But no, Michael just comes over and sits next to his son and says, "Have you met Cherie?" And I said, "You have a child? That's cool." You know, Garrett will be 19 on May 17th. So on next Friday. And it truly is a place of honor to be a mom of some fashion to our children, not only in our church, but the ones that we get to help shepherd as a mother. And it is a blessing. I've always told Garrett that he is so lucky to have three parents. He called me the goofy one. Later, he decided that was a good thing, but it took a little while. But Garrett and I, we've had a season as all relationships. Sometimes there was moments of tension. And then sometimes there are those moments of tenderness. And it truly is a blessing. You know, it's funny, I think, no matter if you have your own child or you have your stepmom or you're a grandma, we learn to know our children, don't we? We learn to recognize them even when they're on the football field and they all have the exact same uniform. They're all kind of around the same size. You know which one is your child. Oh, there he is. Yep, there he is. Like for us, we were big skiers, and so we'd be at the bottom of the hill and all of that gear, you're coming down the ski mountain. Oh, there he is. That's him. Nope, I see him. Yep, that's him. That's how he skis. You just kind of know. And even as the kids grow older, if they send you a text, sometimes as a mom or even a father, we're like, "Oh, I need to make a phone call. There's something more that's going on." And we really know, and it is a blessing to know our children. Garrett went to the Catholic school, and so we went to lots of different recitals, lots of band, lots of plays. And I could sit in that school and close my eyes and hear Garrett's voice. I could recognize Garrett's voice above all the other children's voices that were singing. There is something sweet about a child and their voice. And the scripture this morning from John is when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So now we're kind of back in chapter 10 in John's gospel, which is full of these statements by Jesus around those people who hear and who recognize his voice. And they know and they follow him. So the early part of chapter 10, this is what Jesus is saying. It says, "The good shepherd will lead his sheep. They will hear his voice. They will follow because they recognize his voice. The sheep who are in the flock of the good shepherd, they do not follow strangers." because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. And then this is all summarized in our scripture reading this morning when Jesus says in our text, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. Jesus is the shepherd. He is the leader. He is our master. He is the Lord. And we are his sheep. We are his sheep. We are valued people of his flock, the ones entrusted to his care. Jesus said it, his sheep will hear his voice. And so in that one sentence, his sheep hear his voice, is a promise. And at the exact same time, there is a challenge. It's like that tension again. In this one line, there's a promise and a challenge, and the promise is that Jesus promises to speak to us. Christ did not burst forth from the tomb so that he could stay silent. He did not raise from the dead to abandon us and go far, far away from us. No. Our shepherd knows that we have questions. Our shepherd knows that we desire guidance and the truth. Our shepherd knows how easily, so easily, we become distracted. How easily we become lost again. And Christ is the word of everlasting life. His voice is at work in our world. If we listen and we follow, then our lives here on earth and have direction and purpose, as we all learn to discern the voice of our Lord. And so that is the promise, that Jesus will speak to us and we will recognize his voice. But how do we do that? How do we recognize? Because the challenge part is there are imitators. There are imitators. There are deceivers that are out there that try to take the place of the master, of the Lord, of the risen Lord in Jesus Christ. There are many voices in our world that call us. There are many voices in our world clamoring for our attention, distracting us, and making demands of us, extending empty promises to us that will never, ever sustain us. There are imitators calling you down the wrong path. You know, sometimes I think of our culture with all the relativism. Everybody thinks, well, what's good for me is good for me, and what's good for you is good for you. But sometimes those are conflicting things, and so how could two opposites be good? There are imitators calling you down the wrong path. There are strangers at the door of your life trying to deceive you. Folks, we have to know how to tell the difference between the authentic voice of the Lord and all of those other imitators out there. Because if we don't, we will end up dazed and confused, distracted, and lost. You know, sometimes the lostness could just be, I'm no longer intentionally practicing the spiritual disciplines of my faith. Sometimes that means I stop praying every day for my enemies or my brother that I do not really like. Sometimes that means I no longer read the scripture besides the upper room. And so that slow departure from that relationship that really I believe God wants us to be close to us. Sometimes the wrong path is simply we are no longer investing intentionally time into our relationship with the Lord. So if Jesus really speaks to us, he says that we recognize his voice. So the ability to hear the voice of the Lord, folks, it takes practice. It takes work on our part. For instance, you know, folks who are really serious about praying, they rarely are going to say, oh, I hear voices. We don't talk that way. We don't say, I hear voices. But our language might be, you know what, I had an impression, or I really believe that God is nudging me in this way into this ministry. I do believe that God will guide us and answers us. And maybe sometimes that's through the intuition that while we're praying, there is something, an impression that comes upon your heart. Or maybe a certain thought that persists over and over. A sense of peace that fills us when we consider one option over the other options. But folks, we need to test those personal experiences, those prayerful intuitions, to see if they truly are congruent with the truth of the Scriptures, the collected wisdom of the Christian community, the insights of the saints who have gone before, and the advice of others who are also prayer warriors. That is how the shepherd's voice often comes to us. Haven't you got a nugget from God, from somebody else before, where they have said something and they spoke truth into your heart that your husband's been trying to tell you forever, but this person over here said one thing, and they're like, honey, did you know? Now, us spouses, we have to be careful not to say, I told you that 2 months ago, because sometimes I'm guilty of that myself. But you know what? Being part of this beautiful church family, it doesn't mean that we are perfect. It doesn't mean that we have it all together. What it means is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and sometimes God's going to use somebody else to speak to your heart from the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is truly how the Good Shepherd speaks to us more often than not. After 10 years of being in ministry, I still feel like a beginner at prayer. There is so much more to learn. There is so much more to learn about the Lord that I love with my whole being. There is so much more to learn about Jesus Christ as our Lord. There is so much depth to the mystery of God, the Creator, to His Son, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, and to the Holy Spirit as the Sustainer, even through the golden years, Dick. There is so much more to learn about our Lord. And I stand humbly before that mystery. I am so glad that I don't have all the answers. I am so glad that there is a God that I cannot contain in a box. I am so glad that Jesus knows what it feels like to wear flesh and to ache and to grieve and also to joy. I stand humbly before the mystery of our triune God. But over these years, I have also noticed a few patterns which help me discern whether I'm hearing the voice of the Lord or whether that message or that voice is coming from somewhere else. And these are just a few things I have learned. Folks, if that voice you hear encourages you to trust, then it's probably from the Lord. But if the voice you heard leads you to cynicism or judgmentalism, it is probably an imposter. If the voice you hear calls you to be generous and self-transcending, then it is from the Lord. But if that voice calls you to selfishness, self-centeredness, if that voice calls you, you don't need to tell her. If that voice calls you to secrets, that is an imposter. If the voice you hear calls you to be faithful, to be true to your word, to keep your promise, to keep your covenant, it is from the Lord. But if the voice invites you to break your promise, to cheat, to try to meangle things where you can get out of things by being manipulative, that is not from the Lord. If the voice invites you to break your promise and cheat and lie, it is an imposter. If you hear an invitation to spend more of your life focused on others, To measure your success by the difference that you make in somebody else's life, that is from the Lord. If the voice you hear calls you to be a peacemaker, a justice doer, a hope giver, it is from the Lord. If the voice you hear tells you how deeply loved you are by an eternal God, if the voice you hear tells you that you have dignity and value and worth that nobody or nothing can ever take away from you, if you hear a reminder how much Jesus loves you, if you hear a reminder that Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die for you and he did on the cross, then that voice is from the Lord. But if that voice you hear tells you that you are not worthy, if you are not good enough, if you are dirty, if you hear that voice tell you that there is no hope for you, it is a lie, and it is from a liar, and that is not from the Lord. So in this 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They recognize my voice. I lay down my life for them. He laid down his life for you, for each of you and me. And this is how much he loves you. And in our daily struggle to know what is right and to have the courage to do what is right, the best thing that we can do is to pray, is to get our nose in the scriptures, is to come to Bible study, is to come and be part of a small group, a community beyond just Sundays. The best thing that we can do is to pray, which means listen for the word of the Lord. And so the scripture that Art was reading this morning is in the 10th chapel. Jesus, it's really during Hanukkah, and Jesus is walking around the temple, and there are these religious leaders that are gathered around, and they are tired of not knowing who he is exactly. They say, how long will you keep us in suspense anymore? You know, the funny thing is Jesus had already told them. But sometimes we don't hear the things that we don't want to hear. And that's what Jesus is doing. He says, I've already told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will ever, ever, ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, because I and the Father are one. It truly is a beautiful thing that the sheep hear his voice and he calls us to follow. Because in our daily struggle to know what is right and to have the courage to do what is right, the best thing that we can do is truly to pray so that we listen to the voice of God. We go to the scriptures and we ask for the Holy Spirit to help guide us. We don't leave just with our own personal experience. We come to the church. We come to the small group. We go to the men's breakfast. We go to UMW's shindig, and we share these different things because God does speak to us through others and through prayer and through the scriptures, and it is a blessing. Amen. Amen.